today on Real Radio.
So here now, Jesus has been up in heaven watching these guys from his vantage point for 10 years now. It's from the ascension on. 10 years! Peter, rise, kill, and eat. I would have loved to have seen the angels at this point. They all look with expectation. Peter stands up. No, Lord! Oh, man, when's that guy gonna learn? Look what he says.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his verse-by-verse series through the book of Acts. The first 9 chapters of this book convey a common thread that is often overlooked, at least in our day and age. A new brand of Judaism was born. It's called Messianic Judaism, and it exists to this day, though the larger percentage of believers in Christ is comprised of Gentiles. Well, now we're looking at chapter 10, where Peter, a Jew, has a dream, the interpretation of which is an instruction by Almighty God to take the gospel to the Gentiles. And it begins with a man named Cornelius. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs in a presentation called A Jewish God, A Gentile Sinner.
And Cornelius is told, go send some guys to find Simon Peter. He's hanging out at a tanner's house. And Cornelius, being a Gentile, may not have thought much about it. No big deal. He's a Gentile. No problem. But you see, Peter's hanging out at a tanner's house. And let me tell you, when I was a little kid, I was like the little gopher on this hunting trip. I was carrying all my brother and my dad's pheasants that they were shooting. And finally, it came time to go down to the slaughterhouse. And let me tell you, you didn't have to have a map to find this place. You just follow your nose. It stunk so bad. And man, you know, we get in there and there's a trough that runs down the floor and there's blood flowing every which way and all these animals are hanging there and they're naked, you know. They take all the skin off of them and stuff. It's like, gross! And it smells so bad. That's how a tanner's house smelled. No! And here's Peter. He's hanging out there. God's working. God's dealing with him. But God's got more work to do. So he tells him, this is where you'll find him. Verse 7, "And when the angel had spoken to him had departed, Cornelius called 2 of his household servants and a devout soldier from among those who waited on him continually. So when he had explained all these things to them, he sent them to Joppa." No problem. So Cornelius sends this entourage up to Joppa looking for Peter. And they're going to try to find a house of the tanner. Verse 9. Now here we see the Holy Spirit preparing Peter. I think this is kind of funny, personally, how God does this. Maybe because us guys or myself, maybe I can relate to this. It says in verse 9, "Then the next day as they went on their journey and drew near to the city, Peter went up on the housetop to pray. It was about the 6th hour." That means noon. 12 o'clock. Hi. Lunchtime. It says in verse 10, "Then he became very hungry and wanted to eat, but while they made ready, he fell into a trance." Get this. In Palestine, they live on the rooftops. So, he's hungry. He goes up on the rooftop. Obviously, they start preparing a meal. He's sitting up there. Simon the Tanner dwells by the sea, so he can see the Mediterranean. It's very close. In fact, they think they still know where his house is today. You can visit Simon's house. Well, that puts Peter on top of the roof. Peter can see the Mediterranean. There's sailboats going out there. It's interesting that in the moment we're going to see this sheet come down out of heaven, and the word in the Greek for sheet is a sail. So he goes up on the rooftop and he's praying. And maybe he's praying, "Oh God, you know, I just love you. You're so great and you're wonderful to me, Lord. And boy, it sure stinks hanging out at this guy's house, but you're doing a work in my life, and I just want you to use me, God." And kind of cracks me up, because what does it say? It says in verse 10 that he became very hungry. The word in the Greek means to have pains of starvation. He had starvation pains. This is not normal. This is a divine hunger pain given. So here's Peter sitting up there on the roof. What are they doing downstairs? It says that they're cooking. They're making ready. Now, I just got done doing the roof on my house. And my brother, my spiritual brother and I were on top of the roof when we were putting this roof on. And we were doing just fine until we got over the kitchen. And we were sitting there, and all this odor, not odor, what's the word? Aroma. Odor. Sorry, honey. No. This aroma came up out of this vent, and it was really funny because as we went by, you know, the air is pretty cool right now, so you could feel the heat, and that's what caught my attention. So I bravely stuck my nose over the vent, not knowing what kind of vent this might be. Could be connected to a tanner's house, I don't know. But you know what it was? Lasagna. Oh. You know, you say that first service, and they go, ugh. Second service goes, hmm. Third service goes, yeah! Lasagna. And, you know, I grabbed one of these pipes on the roof, and I said, hey, what are you guys cooking down there? And they could hear out right down through the pipe, and I heard back, lasagna! All of a sudden, the two of us got extremely hungry. Well, it's time to quit, don't you think? Okay, let's go. Let's go down. And Peter's up there. Oh, God, you're wonderful. Oh, God, use me. Oh, I want to be your... Man. Fish tacos. I like this. And look what happens. He falls into a trance. God does a supernatural thing on him. And he falls into a trance, and look, verse 11, he saw heaven opened, not the earth, it's heaven opens. Now remember, you're Jewish. Let's get ourselves into Peter's sandals here. We're Jewish. We're in a trance all of a sudden. It's supernatural. You can't explain it. Heaven opens. I'm Jewish. Heaven, yes, I can relate to this. And I saw Jesus go up there on the day of ascension. I'm Peter. No problem. Down comes this sail. And as the sail got lower, it says that he looked inside, and running around inside the sheet were a bunch of four-footed animals. No problem. What else does it say? Wild beasts. Now we got a problem. Creeping things. Boy, it's not getting any better. Birds of the air. Uh-oh. Because the book of Leviticus commanded that Peter, being a Jew, could not eat any bats. Ew, who'd want to eat a bat? He couldn't eat any eagles, couldn't eat any owls. Well, who would want to eat an eagle and an owl? Well, let's keep going. Couldn't eat any pork, bacon. Could you imagine? No ham. Unclean. God told them what they could and they could not eat. Here's Peter. What did he do when he got this trance come upon him? Was he hungry or what? His stomach's going, you know, growling. The sheet comes down. He's in this trance. He's hungry. That's how God spoke to him. The sheet comes down, and Peter's going, oh, boy, oh, boy. He's having this dream. Lunch. Lunch. Coming out of heaven. This has got to be great. And he peeks over the sheet and looks inside, and a pig runs by. And he goes, whoa, what's going on? But then maybe he sees a beautiful steer, you know, over there, and all he could think of is steak. And this pig walks right up to the steer and brushes it or touches it or kisses this cow, and now you've got an unclean cow. Now, I know it's not a big deal to us because we're Gentiles, but if you're Jewish, it's a big deal. Now all the things that were edible inside the sheet, they're now unclean. Are you with me? Because they've associated with the unclean things, the pigs, the bats, the birds. Lobsters, clams, crabs, unclean. Oh, no. This dream to Peter becomes a nightmare. I'm hungry. I can't eat a thing. That's what he's seeing. That's what he's thinking. What's the point, Jack? First of all, this is what the point is not. It has nothing to do with food. That's the point. It has nothing to do with food. Well, can I eat pork today after? Hey, Paul said, let every man be persuaded in his own mind. Well, you know, what about keep the law? If you're going to keep that law, then keep the Ten Commandments. Now, if you're going to abstain from certain foods for dietary purposes, that's great. For health purposes, that's fine. But if you don't eat pork, It doesn't mean you're going to go to heaven. And if you eat pork, it doesn't mean you're going to go to hell. Paul the Apostle, the great Jew of them all, said, listen, if you eat something, be it clean or unclean, it doesn't matter. You're not any better with God and you're not any worse with God. The scripture says it's not what goes into you that defiles you. What comes out of your mouth, that defiles you. Are you with me? The issue is not food. Listen, ladies, God is trying to get a hold of Peter's attention by going through his stomach. That's the point. Peter's up there, oh man, yeah. God gives him a hunger pain. And look at Peter's attitude. And don't say we're not like this. It says in verse 13, and a voice came to him saying, rise, Peter, kill and eat. Rise, kill, and eat. Kind of cracks me up. So this is a guy thing. Can you relate to this? It's, you know, we try. We go out to dinner with you, and we put the napkin on our lap and stuff, but you know what we really like to do. I mean, we like to take the drumsticks and roll them around the dirt a little bit, you know, and just kind of give them that extra taste. I mean, you know, it's all over the place. God says to Peter, I love the way God speaks to Peter, rise, kill, eat. Ugh. Me, yo. It's a guy thing. Now, if this was a lady on the roof, God would have said, now, please, if you would. Peter said, yes. Watch what happens. Rise, kill, and eat. Go for it, Peter. What do you think? He's hungry. But he's a good Jewish boy. Look what he says, verse 14. Peter said, not so, Lord. No way, Lord. No way. You would think by now, it's been 10 years since Jesus has left the earth, gone to heaven. And just before that time, two times Peter opens his mouth and says, no, Lord. And Jesus says, come over here. You don't ever say no, Lord. You understand me? Now, if you're going to go along with the program, it's either yes, Lord, or yes, Lord. But it will never be no, Lord. You can't put the two together. Now, get back over there and we'll try it again. And lo and behold, it comes along another point in his life and he goes, no, Lord. Peter, Peter, Peter. So here now, Jesus has been up in heaven watching these guys from his vantage point for 10 years now. It's from the ascension on. 10 years. Peter, rise, kill, and eat. I would have loved to have seen the angels at this point. They all look with expectation. Peter stands up. No, Lord. Oh, man, when's that guy going to learn? Look what he says. Lord, he says, no, Lord, for I have never eaten anything common or unclean. Well, whoop-de-doo. You see what he's saying? God, forget you. I have never associated with anything that's common or unclean. I'm totally kosher. And you see, that's the problem. God was trying to get the church to reach the Gentiles. 10 years had gone by, and Jesus said, you shall be witnesses of mine, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. 10 years had gone by, and the church was still Jewish. Gentiles were excluded. That's why God's using Peter. Peter was the leader. He was the one that they looked to. So God is using him to break down the wall. Can you imagine? I visited a church in Montebello. It was a Russian church, evangelical, born again, loves Jesus. Precious place. Well, you know what was funny? They kept the Russian traditions. All the women had coverings over their heads. All the older women were on one side of the church and up front. All of the younger women had their heads covered and they were in the back behind the older women. All of the men were on the other side of the church, all the older men up front, all the younger men in the back. That's just the way they do it. But they're separate. Nothing wrong with that. It's their culture, and that's great, and that's fine. But you see, when it's concerning sharing the gospel, you don't look at somebody and say, well, that guy's white, so I'm not going to tell him the gospel. That guy's black. I can't talk to him. Baloney. That's gone in Jesus Christ. It's over with in him. There's no nationalities. That's one of the things in Russia. They always step back and they go, why are you here? You guys are Americans. They always say that. And it's great to say, we're Christians before we're ever Americans. Our kingdom, our citizenship is in heaven. And then they just go, oh, that's pretty neat. Let down the wall. No problem. See, Peter's not like that. Not yet. But you hear that segregated attitude of his? Hey, nothing unclean's touched me. And God is saying, Peter, we're not talking about pork here. We're talking about the lives of people. Watch this. And a voice spoke, verse 15, to him again, the second time, what God has cleansed, you got a circle, cleansed. It's not what God is cleaning. It's not what God hopes to clean someday. The word is cleansed, past tense. What God has cleansed, you must not call common or unclean. The Bible tells us in the book of Ephesians that you are clean by the washing of the water of the word, Ephesians chapter 5. The word of God washes you. Jesus said in John's gospel, he says that you are now clean by the word that I have spoken unto you. You've been made clean. Well, I'm a prostitute. He makes you clean. I'm a bank robber. He makes you clean. I'm a drug addict. He makes you clean. Washed away. I don't care what you've done. The reason why I don't care is because he doesn't care. You just come. You see, that's the heavy thought. You realize this morning Jesus' blood has washed us. And there's only one thing that's going to make you unclean. And that is for you to live all of your life and come to the end of your life and to die without Jesus Christ. You then will be stamped unclean. And you'll be kept out of heaven. But Jesus has died to make you clean. The price has been paid. You are clean if you receive him. I'm not making that up. It says in verse 16, this was done three times, and the object was taken up into heaven. Where'd it go? Heaven. Now, Peter, in his prejudiced ways, would have been fine if the sheet would have been let down and put on a barbecue or descended into hell. That's okay with him. But it goes back to heaven. Peter saw unclean animals running around go back up into heaven. That's a message. Verse 17, now while Peter wondered within himself what this vision which he had seen meant, behold, the men who had been sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate. This is almost funny. Peter's on the roof, and the guys are at the gate of Simon Tanner's house. Have you seen a guy by the name of Peter? He's on the roof. He's right there. The point is this, while God was working in Peter's life, God was working in the servants of Cornelius' life. You understand that? Isn't that great? Coming, one from the north, one from the south to meet head on. God's doing that in your life right now. You may not think so. But God is working. He's been preparing you. Well, gosh, Jack, I don't see God doing anything in my life. Well, just hang on. Wait a minute. He's been working with you. There's been problems in your life. There's been trials. There's been devastations. There's been crises. I met a woman last night as we went out and shared the gospel in the streets. I met up with a woman last night. Her husband had left her. She's losing her home financially. Her son fell down and busted the teeth out of the front of his mouth. And got her car stolen in about a week and a half time. In fact, yesterday her car had gotten stolen. Now, you know what I told her? I said, you know what? I said, God loves your family. You want to know how I know? He's trying to get somebody's attention. He's trying to get your attention. But all this is going on! You need to bow your knee to him. Jesus loves you so much, he's shaking your cage. You know what that tells me? That tells me that person I love, 1 Peter chapter 1, 1 Peter says, the elect of God, ordained by the foreknowledge of God to be his children. I love it. It's elect. God elects, not collects. It's not like, you know, I'm calling you, collect, you pay, here I'm calling. God says, I'll save you freely. God wants to save this person and her family, and all this stuff's going on. Why? He's preparing her. And if you don't believe that, you're going to sit back in your life and fold your hands and you're going to say, you know what, my life's going down the tubes. And it doesn't make any sense. And if you don't believe it, you're going to be hopeless. But the fact of the matter is, God is speaking to you. Or he's having this stuff go on in your life so someone that you know in your immediate area will come to Jesus Christ through your example. Is that something? You may be going through suffering and trial and tribulation right now, and it's for your neighbor to get born again. And you might be thinking, and I might be thinking in my selfish little mind, well, why don't you do it to them, God? Leave me alone. And you know what? God convicts us and says, you don't know what spirit you are of at all. We're supposed to be followers of Christ. We're supposed to be disciples of His. Are you, if you're a believer, I'm not going to ask you to show your hands. I know you're believers. I know you're born again. But if Jesus came to you and I right now and said, you know what? What do you think? Your neighbor is so important to me and so precious to me. You're already going to heaven, and I'm glad that you're coming here. But if you don't mind, I'm going to nickname you Job for a little bit. And I'm going to have this thing happen in your life, and it entails an accident, it entails sickness, it entails cancer, and you're going to die. And through your death, this neighbor is going to come to know me and go into heaven for all eternity. And right now, you and I would say in our minds, forget it. That's the flesh. Forget it. Do it some other way, God. Deal with it some other way. No, Jesus says, you know what? You're my disciple. This is the way. You're my evangelist. You're my prophet. And this is how I will minister to that person next to you or to that person in your family through you. And you know, that touches us close to home. That hits hard. God wants to tear down those walls, even if it's the walls of ourself. And all of a sudden, I'm taken back and I'm kind of shocked because I begin to ask myself, am I a follower of Jesus Christ? Am I willing to die for you?
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation called A Jewish God, A Gentile Sinner. It's a look at the first part of chapter 10 of the book of Acts and the fascinating account of how the Gentiles began to be grafted in to the body of believers in the Messiah. We'll continue with more of our journey through the book of Acts on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now that we're well into the fall season, we'd like to remind you about an opportunity for a tax deduction before the year is out. We at Real Radio are making an offer that is beneficial in three ways. First, your contribution of any amount to Real Radio keeps this biblically based program on the airways. Secondly, whatever you send is tax deductible. And third, you'll receive Pastor Jack's 2-CD set called When a Christian Prays. When a Christian Prays has already helped thousands of believers in understanding the proper biblical view of prayer. Does prayer really change things? Well, find out. Visit us at realradioactive.org and look for the banner Special Offer. The 2-CD set of Pastor Jack's teaching, When a Christian Prays, is yours. Just send a gift of any amount in support of Real Radio. Now, you can order online at realradioactive.org, again, realradioactive.org, or get in touch by telephone, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Radio. Our mailing address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Again, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Real Radio is made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel Chino Hills wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. has been made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.